Welcome to Health Talk, brought to you by White Plains Hospital. I'm Laura Smith. My next guest is Dr. Michael Zuckman, internal medicine specialist at White Plains Hospital, medical and wellness in Armonk. Well, today we've got some interesting information that we're going to hear about from the doctor. Four important travel tips. Now, who would have thought? I would have thought I'd come here today and just talk about medicine or diagnoses or whatever, but four important travel tips. And I guess, obviously, right now with everything that's going on in the news about the coronavirus, and all these things that are really, we're on high alert around the world for, it'll be good to get some great information from you, doctor. Thank you so much. First and foremost, I want to talk to you about immunizations. We know that there is not a vaccine yet for the coronavirus, but what can we protect ourselves from? Is there anything we can do right now to try to help mitigate this or prevent it?
Good morning. Well, I would say that as of now, we don't have any prevention for coronavirus. The main thrust has been avoiding areas that seem to be where the virus is most prevalent, and that generally includes Hubei province, and of course the famous city of Wuhan.
In China,
mm-hmm. is clear.
So you really can't immunize for this particular virus. Would other types of immunizations come into factor until something is created?
Yeah, right now there are some companies who are trying to develop a vaccine. There are some antiviral medications being used for other types of illnesses that have been tried to treat severe cases of corona, but there is no vaccine available as of now. So it's more avoidance, quarantine, and that seems to be the main thrust of the health departments.
Do they know the origin and how someone gets it, also how it's transmitted? Do we know any of that yet?
It's felt to be still primarily a respiratory type of virus. So coughing, sneezing, there is some uncertainty about things like feces and saliva. So the full picture will probably emerge, unfortunately, a little bit later than anybody would like. But the bottom line is right now no vaccination for coronavirus. So the original question about what else can be done obviously applies. And, you know, as we know, at this time of year, the influenza virus is very active, particularly in the United States. And there have already been about 6,600 deaths from the influenza virus in the United States alone.
This year or?
This year.
Wow. That's incredible. All right. Well, so we'll see how this develops over the next several weeks. What about other viral illnesses, such as from mosquitoes, per se? Which should we be most concerned about, and how can we protect ourselves? That's a hard one.
There are a number of diseases around the world that are caused by mosquitoes as the vector. Malaria is one of the big ones, and there is a malaria vaccine, but it isn't particularly effective, so isn't really widely used yet. So for the most part, for malaria, in those areas of the world where malaria is active, we recommend taking prophylactic medications, mm-hmm. and anti-parasitic medications.
Yeah. The Zika virus, I remember that was like big in the news. Was it last year or the year before or something? And women who were pregnant had to be especially careful. Is that still happening today? Or did they kind of nip that in the bud? Or there's no such thing as nipping in the bud, something like that?
Yeah, I mean, Zika virus is still active in many countries around the world, particularly in South America, the Caribbean, parts of Africa, parts of Southeast Asia. You know, again, mosquito-borne illness, And for the most part, Zika does not cause very serious problems, very serious symptoms for most people who are unlucky enough to be exposed to it. It's usually more of a mild viral type illness. You might not even realize that you even have the Zika virus. Unfortunately, for a small percentage of people, it can be more severe and can have symptoms such as Guillain-Barré, which is a neurologic disorder, and particularly in women who are pregnant or who are planning a pregnancy, it's very important to take precautions against mosquitoes if they're visiting in indigenous areas of the world.
Right. Okay. Good to know. Now let's talk about food. I know that I went to Indonesia a few years ago because my sister lives there, and we were in Bali, and by the second day I was there, I had picked up some food poisoning, and I know that around the world, water is an issue. People don't realize they're going to a restaurant in maybe Mexico or somewhere in South America, and the water is not pure, and they'll put an ice cube in the drink, and next thing you know, you're waking up sick. So that's a real thing you have to take into consideration when traveling, and try to be, somewhat. But it's hard if you don't know what, say, the hotel is doing and how they're preparing the food. What, how can we stay safe, from those types of illnesses?
Okay, well, there are a number of different causes of intestinal disease in the world, and there are some that are preventable by vaccination. The ones that we do vaccinate against are typhoid and hepatitis A. Those are probably the two biggest problems that can be prevented by vaccination. Typhoid is given to patients either as tablets, capsules, or vaccination, and should be given at least a couple of weeks prior to leaving for your destination or arriving at your destination. A lot of the problems with typhoid and hepatitis A are in areas like South America, Africa, parts of Eastern Europe, some of the Caribbean countries, believe it or not. Not so much in the United States. The other one is Hep A, and hepatitis A actually is in the United States. Mm. And there are sporadic outbreaks of it. We had a case in a restaurant here in Westchester County, and the Westchester County Department had to come in and test a lot of the patrons and the workers there. Again, very preventable by getting the hepatitis A vaccination, which is a series of two vaccinations. Children get that as part of their primary vaccination.
Right, but adults not necessarily. I mean, right. People aren't, as far as I know, when I was little and we used to live in Brazil, we used to get a battery of inoculations. I mean, like eight. I remember just hating that, so much. I was like 6 years old. But that doesn't, we don't really do that anymore. So, but you're saying if it's something even like hepatitis A can happen here, in a restaurant, but what is it, where is it coming from, and what causes that type of disease?
It's fecal oral, which means from the feces.
Right.
Or from saliva.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's felt that it's where you pick it up or places where the conditions are not that sanitary, people aren't being very careful, the restaurant workers, in the hospitality business, they may not be that careful. There are places in the world where human fertilizer is still being used for agriculture. So as a general rule, if you are visiting a country where there is hepatitis and typhoid, you have to be very careful with the types of products that you eat and drink. Bottled waters, or at least packaged fluids are probably the safest to drink. if you're going to drink the local waters in those locations, then you have to boil the water first. If you want fresh fruit or vegetables, it really should be in boiled water. Or if it's a fruit that can be peeled, then you can safely eat the fruit.
We used to put get these drops in Brazil that you would put in. You'd have to wash your lettuce. You couldn't have a salad or vegetables or anything without putting the drops in the water. I have no idea if it worked, but I don't remember getting sick there. So, but I remember we had to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, usually I'll recommend to avoid things like food trucks in those places, to usually go to restaurants that are more well-traveled and have recommendations through guides, or, you know, hotels are usually fairly safe. That's probably the best bet. To prevent getting those sorts of things. Food, but then there are a lot of other gastrointestinal diseases that you can get abroad that there is food poisoning. Food poisoning, you had mentioned earlier that food poisoning is usually a toxin. It's a bacterial toxin that there really isn't really much you can do. Once you've had that, you sort of have to let it play out and just treat the symptoms. But you don't need to take, there's no particular antibiotic or vaccine that you would use for that. You know, probably one of the most common gastrointestinal disorders would be E. coli, which in Mexico, it used to be called Montezuma's Revenge. People may have heard that. And that usually is a very self-limited type of food gastrointestinal disorder that causes diarrhea for the most part. Maybe a little bit of vomiting, and usually it'll go away on its own after a few days. Doesn't usually need antibiotics for that.
Right. Not fun, definitely. Not fun. You recommend, doctor, that everyone bring a first aid kit on their trip. What should be included in that little kit?
Well, I guess some of it would probably depend upon where your destination is and what you're planning on doing on that end. So you'd have to tweak it a bit depending upon that. You know, but for the most part, I think, just some general rules. You know, obviously, we were talking about Zika earlier, there's chikungunya, there's dengue and malaria, or yellow fever is another illness that are mosquito-borne. So, you know, you'd want to bring the appropriate clothing to prevent mosquito bites.
Right. How about any repellent?
Absolutely. So the two big repellents, not getting into brand names, would be using something with DEET in it, DEET. And that's something that you could put directly on skin, actually. It's usually pretty safe. You got to be careful around the eyes. But permethrin is another type of medication that's a little bit more toxic to us, so you don't put that directly on your skin, but you could put it on clothing. You know, you got to be careful about if you're sleeping in an air-conditioned hotel, that's safer.
Okay.
Mosquitoes don't generally get attracted to air conditioning. Mosquito netting or windows that have screens in it are very effective. So that should be in the kit. You should have a mosquito repellent with DEET. You need some sort of an application with permethrin if you're going to areas where there are a lot of mosquitoes And then, you know, you'd probably want to bring some anti-inflammatory medication, something like Tylenol or Advil. Benadryl is always a good thing. Allergies, insect bites. I usually would recommend bringing a small amount of an antiseptic, either maybe an antibiotic ointment, a little bit of peroxide, some bandages. Those are probably the best things. The other thing you might want to do, depending upon how long you're going to be there, is take an antidiarrheal. Something like Lamotil is very good. Imodium is over the counter. Or Pepto-Bismol, which are very good for traveler's diarrhea, by the way.
Okay, yeah. Good to know. Right now, I'm not sure a lot of people are thinking about traveling on cruises because of the coronavirus, but do you have any final thoughts, especially with the coronavirus happening today? How can people consider avoiding it? Would you say don't travel at all right now, or is that a little bit too too cautious, overly cautious.
Yeah, I mean, it's safe to travel in most locations in the world. And, you know, so the reality is as of today, there's about 1,000 deaths as a result of the coronavirus in China, for the almost all in China. A lot of people have gotten sick from the coronavirus, but most people recover. For most people, it's more like a flu type illness. So you're getting cough, mm-hmm. cold, maybe a fever, and usually it'll resolve with very little treatment. You have to avoid going to right now. I'd say avoid China. I mean, and mm-hmm. for the most part, really, even not all of China. I think there's some travel restrictions. You can check the CDC. They have a State Department link where they make recommendations about travel to certain parts of the world where they think it's unsafe, and they'll actually recommend against certain types of travel. But the main thing you could do today is get a flu vaccine. This is flu season. Again, 1,000 deaths from coronavirus has made the world absolutely paranoid. 6,600 deaths in the United States alone from the influenza doesn't seem to be causing as much alarm in the United States. People still coming in who don't want to get an influenza vaccine. Mm-hmm. I think that's a mistake.
Okay, very, very good. Thank you so much. Dr. Michael Zuckman, internal medicine specialist at White Plains Hospital Medical and Wellness in Armonk. Thank you so much for that great information today.
Thanks for the time.
This has been Health Talk. I'm Laura Smith.